American soldiers. It was as though they were actually preparing for a strike east. The fall of Poland and Germany would mean that a trip to Soviet territory would be shortened by over 1,000 kilometers, and there was not a man at this table who did not remember the last time the Germans had entered the Soviet Union. Despite all the protestations that NATO was a defensive alliance whose entire purpose was to keep the Red Army from driving down the Champs-Élysées, to Moscow, NATO and all the other American alliances looked like an enormous noose designed to fit around their collective necks. They'd all considered that before at great length, and they feared above all the possible turning away of their people from the true faith, which was the source of their own very comfortable personal power. They had no illusions about what a revolt would do to them. Brezhnev shifted in his chair. "So this Polish priest is a threat?" "Yes, comrades, he is," Andropov said. "His letter is a genuine and sincere thrust at the political stability of Poland and thus of the entire Warsaw Pact. The Catholic Church remains politically powerful throughout Europe, including our fraternal socialist allies. If he were to resign the papacy and travel back to his homeland, that in itself would be a huge political statement. I suppose we could try diplomatic contacts to dissuade him from this course." "A complete waste of time," the foreign minister observed at once. "We cannot influence him, even with direct threats to the church. They merely see threats as challenges." And that put the matter squarely in the middle of the table. "Yuri Vladimirovich, what can KGB do about this threat?" Brezhnev inquired. "It may be possible to eliminate the threat by eliminating the man who makes it," the chairman replied. "To kill him?" Ustinov asked. "Yes, Dmitri. I have brought my aide, Colonel Rozhdestvinsky, to brief us in on it. With your permission, comrades?" Andropov received a collection of nods. Then he turned his head. "Alexei Nikolaevich?"